Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided together. And we'll be continuing our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 12, which says, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And we left with this issue of dealing with the idea of the glory that God has called us unto as part of our responsibilities, being when it says, who hath called you, when we looked at how that was the idea of that chosen, that elect, that idea of the members of the body of Christ being chosen for a particular role, which is to give the dispensation of the grace of God, the message that's been given to us, to be preaching this to other individuals so all individuals could be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And that responsibility of preaching this gospel message which saves individuals today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and how a person puts their trust in that and that alone for their salvation, that's the responsibility that we have, and how what we are doing has the idea of that we've been called unto his kingdom and glory. Now, when we look at that term, glory, the problem that so many individuals have with that idea is they look at how it is that they can bring glory unto themselves. They want all of the accolades that they could possibly build up, whether it's the titles that would go, you know, with their name, whether it's the money that goes along with it, whether it's the fame, that all of these different things that individuals think is the things that they should be attaining to. And it's not only just in the things of secular things. This also goes along with the idea of preaching the word, that individuals have that idea of that there's certain things that bring glory that have nothing to do with what the Bible actually says. People look at the idea of what's glorious is, you know, how big is our choir? How big is our building? How many people did we have in attendance for our service today? These different things that people try to put up and say, this is what's bringing glory to God. But we can see how the Apostle Paul actually truly defines what actually brings glory to God. If we go over here into the book of Galatians, and let's turn to Galatians chapter number 6, and we'll see how Paul is going to define the idea of the glorious things in God's eyes. And we're going to read here verse number 14 of Galatians chapter number 6, which says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And you see how the Apostle Paul speaks about what is the glorious thing, and is identifying the thing that actually is what Paul says that he should be glorying in, and says the only thing he should glory in is the cross. What the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross at Calvary, that's the thing that actually is what is our focus. It's what our glory actually comes from. It has nothing to do with all of those other things that so many people think that glory actually comes from. The Apostle Paul even starts to speak about those things that individuals talk about and say that this is what they would glory. And if we go over to Philippians chapter number 3, and we'll look at how Paul is going to identify things that were true of himself here in the book of Philippians, and things that in who he is that he could glory in, and we'll see what he actually says about these things. And here in Philippians chapter number 3, we're going to start here at verse number 4. It says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And you see how Paul, as he's describing all of these different things about himself, is holds himself up temporarily to say, you know, if anyone thinks that they have all of these good things going about who they are, well, I'm going to put my credentials up against theirs to show that I could stand above any of these people in the eyes of man to say all of these, you know, he's identifying, you know, how he's following all the things of the law. He's a member of the nation of Israel. He's part of, you know, one of the two tribes that was the closest to, you know, remaining faithful in the eyes of God. He's a Pharisee. He's identifies the fact that he was blameless concerning the things of the law. Now, all of these different things were where he could be essentially pounding his chest and going, me, 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 look at how great I am. And yet he says that these things are worthless compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He identifies, you know, that he lost all those things. They were considered to be dung. They were so worthless, especially when compared to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, compared to the glory that comes about from the things of the cross. Because when you really think about what was accomplished on the cross at Calvary, the law was nailed to the cross. The issue of sin was taken care of as a result of the cross. We are able to have forgiveness because of what happened on the cross. We have his righteousness because of what happened on the cross. Those are the things, and there are so many more things that we could add to that list, but that's why the glory really comes from what was accomplished on the cross. Paul identifies over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 how we have a victory over the idea of sin and death through what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. That's glorious. That's where our focus is supposed to be. So even when we talk about the idea of how it is that we are to be living our life, let's go over to the book of Galatians. We're going to go to Galatians chapter number 2. Because individuals say, well, yes, it's all fine and good that, you know, what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished, but we still have to do something. We still have to be working to prove how righteous we are, to be showing that it was not wasted on us the grace has been extended. Paul very clearly shows how that whole thought process is wrong according to what the Word of God says. And here in Galatians chapter number 2, we're going to read here verses 20 and 21. They say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And right there showing how the idea of the law, which is the performance system, if righteousness comes about through the performance of the law, then what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross is of none effect. What he accomplished is that he took our sin so that way we would be able to receive his righteousness. So that way when God looks at us, God the Father looks at every member of the body of Christ, he doesn't see us, he sees his righteousness in us. That's why we can be identified as being accepted in the beloved. All those different terms that describe the members of the body of Christ are all true because of what he accomplished for us. You already made a reference to this, but let's read the verse so we can show how, you know, the scriptures clearly identify this. Let's go over to Colossians chapter number 1, to where we see, as we're turning there, the book of Galatians talks about how, in the verse that we read, that the life we're living, it's Christ living through us. It's not us. When we're doing all the right things, it's the Lord Jesus Christ living through us. He gets the glory. When we do the wrong things, that's us. There's nothing glorious in the wrong things being accomplished. But here, over here in Colossians chapter number 1, let's read here verse number 14, when it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And that whole idea, and it's so important to really identify the fact of that forgiveness, because when we look at what the scriptures say about the things related to the nation of Israel, we see how Israel, in their program, they were still waiting for that idea of forgiveness to come. They were waiting for him to return to establish the kingdom before they would actually receive that forgiveness. You see that over in the book of Acts in chapter number 3, verse 19, identifies the fact that they're going to be forgiven when the times of refreshing shall come. So it's very clear that they have not received that forgiveness. The members of the body of Christ have that as a present possession. We are completely forgiven of the issue of sin. It's been taken care of. So when we look at the issue, let's go over to Romans chapter number 4. And we see how Paul, here in the book of Romans, is going to say something about the idea of some things related to salvation and how this is all accomplished for us here. And here in Romans chapter number 4, we're going to read here. We'll start right at verse 1 to kind of get the context of what Paul is saying here. And he says, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And when we look at this passage, I want to focus here on verse number 5, where it's talking about the him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. That's talking about a member of the body of Christ. We're not doing any works for our salvation. We're putting our belief, our trust on him that justifieth the ungodly. And then it says, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, the faith is not the faith of the individual that's being spoken of here in Romans chapter number 4. His faith, this is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's counted for righteousness, because it all goes back to what he did. It all goes back to what he accomplished on the cross at Calvary. So when we look at that idea of the glory that we're called unto the glory that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has nothing to do with us other than the fact that we're putting our trust in what he accomplished. And if you've not put your trust in the gospel message, you know, I basically beg you to put your trust in the gospel message so that way you can be a partaker of the glory that comes from what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Now let's go back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and we're going to start looking here at verse number 13 here. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And so as we look at this verse, we see how the Apostle Paul here is going to start shifting the conversation at this point and is going to start focusing some things on what it is that the Word of God actually has, you know, done for us, what's true about the Word. And as he's going to continue in this passage, you'll see how there's some things that are going to be talking about their, you know, their performance of some things based on their understanding of the things of the Word of God, and knowing the fact that they already have that guarantee of their salvation. And I want to look here, let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 1, just very briefly, to just really reinforce the fact of how the members of the body of Christ have a guarantee of our salvation. And here in Ephesians chapter number 1, we're going to read here verses 13 and 14, which say, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And we see how Paul identifies the fact that after we put our trust in the gospel message, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit is the seal that keeps us in the body of Christ, that keeps us in the position of being a member of the body of Christ, so that way we have that guarantee of who we are. There's nothing we can do that would actually cause us to lose our salvation. There's nothing that would cause it to even be questioned. You know, we have that guarantee until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for the body of Christ, that we are going to be capped in that position. So we will be with him, ruling and reigning with him in the heavenly places. So when we talk about anything about maintaining some things as a member of the body of Christ, you know, that always goes back to our practical sanctification, because positionally we already have that guaranteed. Practically, we are trying to conform ourselves into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're trying to have that renewing of the mind. That's all those different things. All of it that starts with the Word of God, which is where you see that Paul's going to be taking this. And as you see how he's going to start as he's getting into this discussion, when it says, "For this cause also thank we God." And we see how there's a focus on the idea of thanking God for things. And over and over again, we see how Paul is going to use that idea of thanking God as part of the responsibility that we have. So we're here in 1 Thessalonians. Let's turn over to chapter number 5 here. And we're going to see how, as Paul is laying out some practical things for the members of the body of Christ here, that we'll see how he's going to bring up this idea of thanking God. We'll pick up here in verse number 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, as you look at this passage, you see how there's a number of different things that Paul is laying out that a member of the body of Christ is supposed to be doing. And he says, exhort, he's encouraging them to be doing all of these things. And then you see how, as he lays these things out, prayer and thanksgiving are always going to be tied together for the member of the body of Christ. You know, because you see how it says, pray without ceasing. So we are supposed to be continually in this idea of, you know, having this prayer life. Then he says, in everything give thanks. Now, that's a hard thing sometimes for a member of the body of Christ to really be thinking about, because when it says in everything, that means, you know, for the good things we're to give thanks. You know, that's really easy because, you know, everyone's always thankful when good things happen. But in everything also means that we're to be thankful even when bad things are going on. Even when we're faced with the trials and tribulations that come about as being part of this life. When we're, as Paul describes it, suffering for his sake, we are to be thankful in those times. You know, and everyone has moments when they find that it's hard to be thankful for the situation that they're in. And Paul says that we are to be, you know, giving thanks in everything. And sometimes even our giving thanks can just be about the things of, you know, we're thankful for what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross at Calvary. You know, that's something that no matter what our situation in life is, we truly can be thankful about. You know, because that's where the glory comes from. That's where all the things that we spent the first part of this broadcast talking about, that is something we can actually truly be thankful about as a member of the body of Christ. Now, we'll continue looking at the idea of this thankfulness in our next episode. As we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday services live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. You know, on the Wednesdays that I'm teaching, we are going through the books of 1st and 2nd Peter, looking at how the doctrine applies to those in the ages to come, and contrasting it with some of the things that the Apostle Paul says about the members of the body of Christ today, what he writes in his epistles. When Pastor Reed is teaching, he's, you know, finishing up the book of Romans, looking at the foundation of the doctrine that's been given to the members of the body of Christ. And as always, remember, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything in these broadcasts, anything that you hear in any of our other messages or read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.